Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahanao Bhunaktu Sahaviryankaravavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay. Bhagavat Sandarbha, Adhyayana 4, Adhikarana 6, The Personal Potencies of the Lord, Anucheda 18. The Lord's Sarup exists as Shakti and as the possessor of Shakti. So that means his form is both the Shakti itself and the possessor of that. So that's the whole idea, is that we're not like that. So that's his uniqueness. You know, because if you're the source of everything, then that's how things will work. Because otherwise, by our logic, then it'll always go back, and, well, what's his source? You know, there's always that, you know, snarky guy in the crowd, you know, like that. And so then the point is it's his swoop has both. Right? Does that make sense? Like that. And this is going on from before, is the previous one. The point was made that when you see the the impersonal qualities or the existence of things, that's the Brahman. But when you see manifestation and forms and activities and that's coming from Bhagavan, right? Because Brahman is Brahman. There's no transformation, right? So then, why would there be forms here? Because as far as Brahman goes, there's no need. Right? Because it's just the, you know, ever-expanding, unlimited general qualities, general position. So it's only because of Krishna's desire, then there's transformation. Then you get the manifestation of the material energy and all the forms and everything here. Even in the spiritual world. Why it's there? Because of his Icha. That's why it's there. It's not because of the Jnana Shakti. It's not because of Jnana, then everything is manifest. It's because of his desire, Icha. And then that's manifest through Kriya. So Jnana is just the basis. Right? So the Brahman is just the basis.
It's like a foundation.
It's like a foundation. It's just, it means what everything means. He's Brahman, everything's Brahman, so it's what everything's made of. But it's his desire that there's the transformations and the forms and all those things like that. So that's why when you're discussing Brahman, you need to discuss Bhagavan, because what we're dealing with is, we'll just say it's all, there's nothing. And so then if we're looking at it from that point of view, then how do you deal with the forms? So you have to say they're illusory,
yes.
Right? You know, then you have, what's that? What's their one? Vivartha. You know, it'll be illusion. But we'll say, no, it's transformation. And how is it transformation? You know, that's transformation of his energies. So, and they arise from his sarup, so they're non-different than him. So they are him, but they're different from him. That's his unique position. You know, we're always like demanding that no, it has to be logical to my mundane, puny brain. But the problem is that's not going to happen. It's just not. So one has to understand the inconceivable, accept that, and then know, we gain knowledge of the inconceivable from the Shastra. Right? That's the thing. Everything comes from the Shastra. What is it? Shastra Yoni Dvat. It's all from the Shastra. Like that. There isn't anything else that's there. It's all explained in Shastra. That's how we know.
So Maharaj, if Brahman is the foundation, the basis, can we also say it is like energy of Bhagavan?
No, no, it's a form of the Lord, because it also, there's energy there. Otherwise, how does Brahman, how do you get all these things if there's no energy? How do you get detail unless there's energy? But it's just, it's impersonal, energetic and impersonal energy. That's Brahman.
Yes.
So it's a basis, meanings what things, all the ingredients are coming from. But it's not the basis, meaning that's the foundation and Krishna is founded on that. No, Brahman is founded on him. Yeah, Brahmano hi pratishtha means Brahman is founded on him. So, yeah.
So yes. He used the word only effulgence or radiance, but not energy. He's the person, it's his own.
Yeah, it's him. It means it contains that, but it's him who has that. So that's the point here, is his sarup exists as Shakti and the possessor of the sarup. So the sarup is Shakti and the possessor of Shakti. And it's through that Shakti he manifests. But the point is because it's manifesting the Shakti Man, therefore you can tell the difference between the manifestation of him through the Shakti and the Shakti through the Shakti.
Yes.
That's how you can tell this is Krishna and this is the devotee.
Yes.
This is Krishna, this is his Nam. This is Krishna, this is his paraphernalia. So that's the thing, is that his sarup is the Shakti. That's why Radha and Krishna are non-different.
Yes.
But they're different, because one is Shakti, one is Shaktiman. So his sarup has both, but at the same time, since they're different, then the Shakti can also be manifest as a form. So that sarup Shakti, that's Radharani. Bhagavan means he who exists with predominant manifestation of being the possessor of Shaktis, which are defined as arising from his sarup. Right, so the prominent manifestation being the possessor of Shaktis.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we'll have some Shaktis by this. If Krishna in his form has Shaktis, then we in our form has Shaktis, just like the wall has some Shakti.
Yes. Yes.
There's the form, but that form is there of the wall, and at the same time the Shakti of being able to do what walls do.
Yes. Yes.
You know? Like that. But it's technically the wall's not the possessor of that, because then if you knock it down, it doesn't possess that Shakti anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But Krishna always has that Shakti. Lakshmi is she who exists with predominance of that Shakti. So Bhagavan is the predominance of the Shaktiman that come from his sarup. And Lakshmi is the predominance of the Shakti. So you have his sarup is Shakti, Shaktiman. So when there's the predominance of Shaktiman, that's Bhagavan. And the predominance of Shakti, that's Lakshmi. Right? So they're one and the same, but they're different. So that's the uniqueness of the philosophy. See, that's why it takes more to appreciate. The other philosophies, the other, you know, five schools of Vedanta, they're a little easier to catch because they make sense logically, you know, to ourselves. But a Chinta Beda Beda Tattva, it can be logically presented. But the point is that it doesn't, if you approach it without that faith, it won't make any sense. That. So it's more hidden, like we saw before. Krishna likes to be hidden. That aspect of being hidden. So a Chinta Beda Beda Tattva, that hides the best. Yes.
Also the point that to deal with Lord in the mood of Sakya and then Vatsalya and Madhurya, we need to understand more clearly about our position and Lord's position. So then, like in other sampradayas, it's only Dasya Bhav. So all they need to understand is that we as soul is subordinate to Supreme Lord, and then our nature is to serve.
That's there.
But then we need to understand more in order to go
to these other rasas. But at the same time, as I think with the they have that extension, but it's still that aspect of the kriya, you know, the sakya and vatsalya, because they're expansions of the same shakti, you know, the samvit shakti. And so then you can have that, but they don't have the same, there's not the same degree of independence, because there's still that touch of a liberation there. It's about the wonderfulness of being in that situation. Like, in other words, so, you know, they are parents of the Lord, or they are friends of the Lord, or they are conjugal lovers of the Lord. But it's about being in that association. You understand? So, these things, it's not important. Does that make sense? So, like we saw with the Tattvavadis, then there's that element that they just want liberation. You know, they'll be in the gods, they're always absorbed in the Lord, they're always doing service to the Lord, but it's about gaining liberation, that is their main point, rather than the service to the Lord, that prema. Right? So then you're just saying that same position, you're just adding more and more sweetness, and it brings it closer. But at one point you have to give up that aspect of liberation. That's pure, unalloyed devotion. That, therefore, in the spiritual, everyone that has the aspect of pure devotion, that is just about the Lord, but it doesn't have that unalloyed aspect. So we'll, from our definition, then we'll say that's not pure devotion, because for us, pure devotion means pure unalloyed devotion. That's why you see sometimes they're talked about as you know, in the one capacity as standard devotees, and another capacity is that it's not up to the standard. Right, so by the standard of pure devotion, then yes, it's just on the Lord. They're not into demigods. They're not into emerging in Brahman. So in that way, it's pure, but it's not pure and alloyed, because there's still the four forms of Vaishnava liberation. For them, are still, you know, their focal point, their goal. Does that make sense?
So as Vaishnava Acharya's pointed out, it's only when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes that this pure and alloyed devotion is given.
Yes. Yeah, because only in Braja, in Gokul, do you have that pure, unalloyed devotion. That's the uniqueness of it. That's why Braja is different from everything else. So in one sense, you can say the whole spiritual world is similar because of that aspect of liberation. It's always about Vishnu, but it has that aspect of their liberation. Right? You know, and even those who are into Kaivalya, then the point is it still is focused on the Lord, not on anybody else. It's not that the demigod is God and this and that. No, God's God. But everything's God. So therefore, then they're seeing that aspect. Not looking at it, oh, everything's God, so I'm God. No, everything's God, so everything's connected to God. Everything's transcendental. Everything's Brahman. So they're seeing it from that proper, that descending process. But then it goes forward, right, into possession, into relationships. Then you get those the other four relationships. But there'll still be the aspect of liberation. Just like, why is it that, let's say, in other sampradayas, they don't have the element of separation? Right? Remember when we first came up and it was kind of like very obvious about the separation and the intensity of it? What were the first questions during that year? It was always about why would Krishna put them through such suffering, this, that. Exactly. So that's why in the other sampradayas, they don't deal with separation. So that means the limit of their, even they're dealing with the gopis, right? Then there's only a certain amount, a level that Ananda can get to, right? You know. So we know in Goloka, they can get up to Anubhava. The queens can get to Anubhava. They can't get to Mahabhava. They won't get to Mahabhava. That's the limit of that relationship. So therefore, even if you have the gopis in other sampradayas, they're not going to get beyond that. So that's the thing, is if you want to extend it, then you have to accept separation. That brings in the... And then it's non-different, because it's different. The flavor of Sambhog and Vipralamba are different, but at the same time, they're non-different. They're the highest ecstasy. So in these others, they're not. They can't adjust with this. So there's no need to. It's not a problem. They're interested in serving Krishna in that capacity. And as Krishna says, as you surrender, you know, then he reciprocates. And so that makes the, So that's how you have all the different realms. So the uniqueness of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's position, what he's revealing, then is very special. So that, therefore, the Mahavaranyavatar. You know, no one gives more mercy than this. because the intensity is greater, therefore the ecstasy is greater. The greater the intensity, the more the ecstasy. Right? That makes sense? Yes. To show this difference between some of the unlimited Shaktis is shown by their different functions. Shriya, Pushtya, Gira, Kantya, Kirtya, Tushte, Layor, Jaya, Vidyaya, Vidyaya, Shaktya, Mayaya, Cha, Nishe, Vitam. Interesting verse because everything ends with the long. Like that, because it's all the Shaktis. Also in attendance were the Lord's principal internal potencies, Shri, Pushti, Gir, Kanti, Tushti, Kirti, Kanti, Kirti, Tushti, Ila, and Urja, as were potencies Vidya, Avidya, and Maya, and his internal pleasure potency, Shakti. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:39-55. Udriti. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur illuminates further on the Lord's potencies mentioned in these verses. Shri is the potency of wealth. Pushti, that of strength. Gir, knowledge. Kanti, beauty. Kirti, fame. And Tushti, renunciation. These are the Lord's six opulences. Wealth, strength, knowledge, beauty, fame, and renunciation. Ila is his Bhushakti, also known as Sandini, the internal potency of whom the element earth is an expansion. Urja is his internal potency for performing pastimes. She expands as the Tulsi plant in this world. Vidya and Avidya, knowledge and ignorance, are external potencies who cause the living entities liberation and bondage, right? So Vidya and Avidya are material potencies. So that's where they'll get the idea, the Mayavadis, that Brahman is covered by Avidya, and then you get the Jiva, and if he's covered by Vidya, then you get Ishwara, right? But these are this aspect. So that's why the living entity then gets covered by these. So then, you know, it brings out another aspect, is that, you know, the, how you say, the famous apple eaters, then they were, they got covered by the Jnanashai, the knowledge Shakti. Right? So it's material. Right? So even there you see the fine points of Vedanta are there. Though somehow or another that understanding may have been lost. Shakti is his internal pleasure potency, Hladini, and Maya is his internal potency, is an internal potency, who's the basis of Vidya and Avidya. Right? So Maya is an internal potency, but you have the Vidya and Avidya. So when you have the proper knowledge, then you have, it means you remove the ignorance, then you get that liberation. But his point is it's only by the devotional Shaktis that you'll get into the spiritual world. So that's why you see these great sages are highly respected, and they can move with the Lord, see the Lord, interact with the Lord. But it's not necessarily that there's devotion there. They don't have any, they're not inimical. They're neutral. Like that. They appreciate. Then there's those who come forward into Shanta Rasa. Right? And they taste their rasa with the bhavas, the combination of bhavas. Like that. Does he explain it later? Is the Shanta Rasa is on the platform of prema? Or it's only on the platform of bhava?
Bhava. Because I think it comes in Priti Sandarbha once he touches on that point. Because for prema, then you need to have possessiveness, which the Shanta Bhaktas don't have.
Don't have, yeah. Because it seems that they're on bhava, so it's the bud of prema. But it's that aspect of prema. And then from dasya, then you start the others. Yes.
You use the word rati.
Rati. Okay.
Because so the eight stages of rati.
Okay. Eight stages of rati. Okay.
Because bhava then.
Okay. That way then it gives prema as the second stage. So they're on the first stage. Yes.
When we say about this, then Prahlad Maharaj, he's considered to be Shanta Bhakta. So it means he didn't reach prema yet?
It's just a matter of they're absorbed in the Lord on that platform of rati. So it's that ecstasy in that. Because as he says, it's not, that sense of possessiveness is not there.
Can we say that prema is only not available, but just not finding a suitable word in the spiritual world? And here it's not, it does not exist as such?
In the material world. Material world, no, it doesn't exist. Means there's a reflection of it, because you have the aspect of the Hladini, that pleasure potency, because the jivas are Satchitananda, so they're going to be looking for happiness. But the problem is they're looking for this happiness through jnana and ajnana. They're looking for it within the material context, through the modes of nature. So it has the same forms, because you are who you are. You know, it's just like, let's say, the person's normal, or the person's, you know, let's say, gone a bit crazy. You know, but you know, basic general habits, basic what he looks like, it's all going to be the same. It's just a matter of where it's applied. So the jiva, whether they're in the natural state or not, then the basic elements are still the same. You know, it's like if you're healthy, you eat. If you're sick, you eat. You just somehow or another you eat less. So how you get out of it? By being sick, you don't really get into your eating much. But that's as good as it gets. You know, so let us say there's someone who regularly has spent time in hospitals, right? You know, different hospitals in different places for different purposes. And if you ask them, okay, so how was the food? You know, what was it like in the different hospitals? Oh, this hospital, it was okay, like that. That one, it was terrible, like that. This one, this preparation was good, but this one wasn't, like that. But it's all terrible, you know, it's hospital food, it's all bad. So within that, then they're making a distinction. Yes. So, as he said, it's touched on. So there's it's not made a big deal, because it's you're dealing with rati, which is unlimited compared to anything we get here. Whatever's the greatest ecstasy we've ever gotten here on the material platform, that's nothing compared to rati. So then you're talking in unlimited, that there's there, then there's like this, you know. Does that make sense? So that's why it's not emphasized. But it's just pointing out that when there's possession, then it takes on that, because it has another flavor. But it has rasa, because there's all the ingredients, all the five ingredients are there, because they have their rati, they have their staibhav. And then in that, then there's the udipans, you know, so there's the what do you call it? With the vibhavas, right? And it has all that aspect. So that again gives up other anubhavas, as they sit there with eyes half closed and not meditating on the Lord and doing things like that. And so then the sattvika bhavas, vyavichari bhavas, they're all there. So it is rasa. But it may not have attained the level of prema. Just like you see, there's a definition you experience that is prema. Then when it goes further, then it's what? Sneha.
It goes for sneha too.
What's that? Prema afterwards, after prema. After prema is sneha. No, they're just saying in the general.
Sneha.
So then that means the heart melts. It's just, there's different conditions that go. And so then in the shanta, it won't get up to there. So it just has that, how the rasa moves in there. Then when you get into prema, then there'll be a general how those progress. Like, you know, then I think coward boys can get up to sneha, get up to this. But then when it gets into conjugal, which is in another category, right, because it's expanding from a different, from the hladini, then some of these, the order is different. Mm-hmm. Like that. So, yes?
Also, like, that's why the terminology used by Jiva Goswami is priti, is what we call in general prema. And then he says 8 stages of priti, then the first stage is rati.
Okay.
So generally in most of the verses when we hear prema, it's referring to the general definition of prema, which is actually the priti.
Priti, okay.
When we say prema, then it goes to specifically having that possessiveness which starts from dasya bhava.
Okay, and it's the second position.
It's the second position.
Yeah, so in other words, the whole thing together, that's priti. So if we look at it that way, then it's not something less. But for us, we're looking at, if you're dealing in a condition of, or a position of what do you call it? Possessiveness, which the four higher rasas are, then you're dealing from that point of prema on up. So therefore, what we're dealing with is that, because we're saying someone can be in these positions. Because, you know, generally we're not going for cows or grass or, you know, like this. So, but they're in that position. So even the cows, the grass, the trees, they're all that ecstasy of priti in the form of rati is there. So it's just, you're just switching the how we're looking at it. We use the word prema because that's how, you know, the area that we'll be working in. So there'll be a little bit discussed. Sometimes you talk about the devotees in the Shantaras, you know, something about the cows or the trees, and like this. But those will be generally discussions, either setting the scene or like we see Krishna talking with the devotees and pointing out the beauty of Vrindavan, like this. But when we're when any detail of pastime, that's always going to be in the context of the what do you call it? The other rasas. Though you do have the one at Tirukadamba where he's playing the flute and calling all the cows. Like that. So in other words, it's nothing to sniff at. Like that. Okay. Shakti is his internal pleasure potency. Hladini. And Maya is an internal potency. So you see, one is his internal potency, and one is an internal potency. Right? So in other words, she is the, and here I can. The word cha implies the presence of the Lord's marginal energy, the jiva. Right? So we get a mention, an honorable mention, cha, who is subordinate to Maya. Right? So either internal, or, you know, in the manifestation without jnana and kriya, without jnana and avidya and avidya, or with. Lord Vishnu is being served by all these personified potencies. Sardartha Darshani, 10:39-55. So we see here is you have the six opulences, then you have Sri Bhuvan Nila, then you have the external potency. You know, means she's an internal potency, but in the who is the basis of vidya and avidya, and then the jivas. Yes. So then everything is covered here in this verse when it says that he's with his energies. So that means all of them will be there. Yes. Yes.
So when we say yoga maya, then that is what here, the maya shakti which is referred to?
Yes, this internal potency, the basis of vidya and avidya, that's the yoga maya.
And her expansion is Mahamaya.
Yeah, and then you get Mahamaya. So the point is Mahamaya is still a devotee, so she's doing, but her energy that she manages, that's an inferior. Yeah.
In that sense, then Vrinda is Urja Shakti, which is completely different Shakti from Maya Shakti.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, she's an internal potency. So you have Sri Bhu, she'll be Bhu. So you have Bhu Shakti, Urja is the Nila Shakti, because it says his internal pastimes for performing pastimes. She's also called Leela. Urja is known as Nila and also Leela. She expanses the Tulsi plant in this world. So we see is that that aspect is there. And so when you're taking that, then when you're taking the arranging the pastimes and all that, it means you're arranging the situation of the pastimes. You're not controlling the pastime. You're making the situation that in those situations, then devotees will act according to Krishna's pleasure. So that's why then Yogamaya will be that aspect. Right? And then Vrinda is the assistant of that. Does that make sense?
This question came up like a few years ago.
Yes. So then, by her grace, we can enter into these pastimes. That's why Vrinda's grace, then you can always absorb in Radha and Krishna. Yeah? You know, so that's what I'm trying to do. Yes?
Is it all these shaktis together can be called as Brahman? Because it's all the energies together.
Brahman. But Brahman also includes that phone there, that stand there, the wire there, that funny little box there that has the battery in it and all that, like that, you know, the blanket you're sitting on. So why are you focusing on them as Brahman?
It's all together Shakti is called Brahman, so all these are transformations of same energy, one energy, and called different names. then trying to understand.
The Lord Sarup Shakti, Sarup exists as Shakti and the possessor of Shakti. It was explained that Bhagavan means he who exists with predominant manifestation of being the possessor of Shaktis, which are defined as arising from his Sarup. Lakshmi Shiuk exists with predominance of that Shakti. To show this difference, some of the unlimited Shaktis are shown by their different functions. Right? So the point is if everything's Brahman, then where does the question come from? But is everything Brahman?
Yeah.
So then what's the question?
These are different manifestations of same energy Brahman.
There's only Brahman. So then any manifestations are still Brahman. But it's coming from Krishna's Swarup. So the form is original, not Brahman. It's not that there's the Brahman, then you get the Shakti. The Shaktis are anyway Brahman. The persons are first. Does that make sense? Shakti refers to Mahalakshmi, who arises from his Swarup. The word Shakti applies to the Lord's internal Mahashakti, the original shelter. Maya is the external Shakti. Shri and others function both internally and externally. Like you see them, that they're functioning both within the spiritual, the opulences, but they also in the material world. You say the six opulences, everybody can relate.
Right.
Yes.
This Adhikarana explains the connection between Bhagavat Sandarbha and Paramatma Sandarbha. It's because the Shaktis are the connecting point between Lord and then the material world. Because that's the reason these are poorer, because they can function both internally and externally.
Mm-hmm. Because they transform.
Yes.
He doesn't transform. Yes, yes. You mentioned that somewhere, or you just figured that out now?
You have to. I think I mentioned here and there.
Yes, so you should write that one in. Good point.
Yes.
See, anything that creates the Sangati, so you see the movement of the theme. Because that's the thing, you want to see there's an overall point of the Bhagavat and then how the theme moves. Then it's got its main points, and then according to Nirukta, how it moves through that. Right? So that should always be brought back, as you always have that primary point, you know, like that, what is there, and then that gives you the Sangraha, so then that gives you the, what do you call it, the Karikas, the main things, and that gives you the Nirukta. And so always how you're moving from one aspect of Nirukta to the next, how that's maybe within the same Karika, or now you move to the next Karika, so now you're doing how that goes back to the Sangraha, how all those work together, and how that has the principal point.
Yes. Well, he said first to assimilate.
Yes, that's the idea. So we're trying to assimilate. See, as generally speaking, is this is absolutely not appreciated in the modern academy, because then they're thinking, oh, you're giving them everything. How are they going to think? We want them to think. But the point is we want them to think, but not about trying to analyze what it is and figure it out. We want them to understand it so they can use it and apply it. So that's why it's called a science. That's why Prabhupada says the modern stuff, it's all arts. They call it science, just like you have the spiritual world and activities and you have the material world. And it's a reflection, it's the same. But the point is there in the material world it's just the negative. So they're only doing arts because they don't know what they're dealing with. They're not applying it. That astrophysicist is not applying it in his life. Right? You know, he can't even, you know, remember to turn off the bath water when his baby's in the tub. You know? Like that. So that's the whole thing, is he can't figure it out. He can't be practical. That's why they can't dress. They can't do anything. They're artists, but their art is dealing with all these amazing numbers. So it's much more nerdy than other arts. But the point is it's there. So, but for understanding, we call it arts and sciences because you can apply them. Maybe he doesn't apply it. The government will apply it. A big business will apply it. You know? And so, yes, it is. It can be. So we call it a science. So we don't have a problem that you call it science. But it doesn't really become science until you use it. You know? Just having the knowledge of it doesn't mean you actually know. It's when you can use it, that's when you know. So for us, using it and applying it, that's the point. So this is a major difference between the Vedic Academy and the Modern Academy. The Modern Academy doesn't like to give you so much because we've given everything. What's left? Yeah, now apply it. So the questions are on how it's applied, how it's understood, how it's applied, what result you're trying to get.
So we can summarize that the devotee is a real scientist.
Yes, he's a real scientist. That's why we're not worried about these others. It's not like, oh, they're big guys and we're so small, who are we? No, Vedic is the big guy. These are, you know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like you have, let's say, you have the government officials who run things in the country. Anybody knows who they are? Other than the major politicians, all the bureaucracy, anybody knows them? No, not at all. Because they're there, government keeps changing, they're still there. You know, even something like, I think a book came out just recently about, a butler, who means the head of house. Of the White House. And he's been there through, something like 7 or 14 presidents. Something wild. And so just writing about how it was serving under all these different presidents. So we never hear about them. Right? So now let us say, someone's there in the House who's one of these government guys who moves everything. And he's sitting there and then... a friend like this or whatever it is, an acquaintance, and the mother's talking, very proudly about her son, in junior high, is on the, high student council, and, therefore they, manage the school and all that kind of stuff like that. And, yeah. No one knows about these other guys, but they think, hey, this is big. In the same way, you have the principals, then you have the guys that write the curriculum and actually make the policy. Who knows them? So the same way as the devotees, they're dealing with Krishna because Krishna is not necessarily seen. He's nirguna, so no one knows who he is. But at the same time, that's the standard. So these guys are big in the modern sense when they're prominent. Like now, you talk about Nobel Prize, you hear about them. And then after that, nobody knows who they are. Nobody cares, really. And some young guy comes up with some new theory and they're out. They're gone. Like I just read something that now they're starting to find. One of the particles that Einstein, projected was there something like 100 years ago or whatever it is. They've just found now. And so now Einstein's coming back into the circle that he's great. Because otherwise, in the last 20 years, it's like, Einstein, what does he know? We're so much better. And now they're figuring out maybe he did know something. So it just keeps going back and forth from just a nobody to, the main guy to a nobody. And now, So that's the problem with the modern academy. Well, the Vedic, it's transcendental, it's real, it's always there. Therefore, Arjuna's, quoting Narada, Devala, Asita, and all these personalities. They've been there, millions of years, and they're still, Narad Muni's been around for 151 trillion years. People still, respect him. What he said 151 million years ago, today is still relevant. So that's the thing. Or like the Chaturshloki, that was spoken 151 million years, billion years ago. Or trillion, excuse me. But it's still relevant today. So that's the whole thing. The Vedic, it's timeless. It doesn't get old. There's no such thing as, you can't do that and it doesn't apply anymore. No, it always applies. But you have to know the time, place, and circumstance and see how it works within that. And so, therefore, it still works, but then there's this consideration. Does that make sense? Yeah, so there's a difference between Sri and Shakti. Because generally, in one sense, they're the same, but at the same time, they're different. So it depends which aspect you're bringing out. So then Sandini, Samvit, Ladini, that you're dealing with that aspect. then that's going to be one. And then the six opulences is going to be the other form. So Shakti is the one that then the Lord is the controller of. Right? He's the controller of Shakti. He's the enjoyer of Shakti. So then when you come to the material world, then what do we replace the he with? Us. Right?
Same principle.
So that's the whole point, is that's Aniruddha. He's the controller of that Shakti, enjoyer of that Shakti. So then we'll be looking at it, okay, I get this result and all that, and then, it's mine. I did this and all that. But then we have to see, even though you've done it for Krishna, is it pure? Because it's still our result, our glory. Everybody should appreciate us. When it's actually, is that enjoying of Lakshmi or of Shakti, that's for Krishna. So when we're looking at it, getting a result for Krishna's pleasure, that's actually the spiritual form of Aniruddha. Otherwise, we're dealing with the reflection. So that's what the, what do you call it? We were saying before the, no, not Tatparyalingas. When you're dealing with the energies of Sankarshan, Prajumna, and Aniruddha?
Kalyanagunas?
Yes, Kalyanagunas. So that's showing what's the spiritual form. And you have the material form, because it mentions the six, they work on both. They work in the material and the spiritual. Like that. So we have to be very, very careful that we're not seeing, the activity, it's mine. Yes. Like that. Of the arrangements. See, I made all these arrangements. Okay. Shakti refers to Mahalakshmi, who arises from his sarup. The word Shakti applies to the Lord's internal Mahashakti, the original shelter. Maya is the external Shakti. Shri and others function both internally and externally. This should be understood in all cases. The first type, spiritual, is now discussed. Shri is the Lord's well. She is not Mahalakshmi, since she arises from Mahalakshmi. That will be discussed later. The second type is now discussed. Shri is material wealth. She is depicted in the following. Right. So in other words, this Shakti, Mahalakshmi, she's the sarup. From her then comes all these six opulences, comes the Shibu Nila aspects, becomes the internally the external. All these elements are coming from her, are expanding from her. So this first one was then the spiritual, the transcendental, what's connected to Krishna. Then, as material wealth, then she is depicted in the following. O Lord of the universe, the mother of the universe may become angry that I desire her service. Affection to the miserable, you make great those who are small. What use do I have for her, since I have your power behind me? Srimad Bhagavatam 4:20-28. Rudriti, Srila Prabhupada. When the Lord is satisfied, the performer of sacrifices is elevated to the platform of devotional service. Prita Maharaj therefore expected that his insignificant service to the Lord would be accepted by him as being greater than that of Lakshmiji. The goddess of fortune is also called Chanchala, restless, because she is very restless and is always coming and going. So Prita Maharaj indicated that even though she might go away out of anger, there would be no harm for Lord Vishnu, because he is self-sufficient and can do anything and everything without the help of Lakshmiji. Srimad Bhagavatam 4:20-28 purport. So, meaning that aspect there, because for Krishna it's still the same personality, just different feature. So in that feature is material Lakshmi, then she may go away. But it doesn't matter, because his service will go on. And at the same time as even internal potency, then he's the source. His sarup is the source of that Shakti. So what's the, specific, we have to remember Prithu Maharaj is also an incarnation. So then they see these fine points. Na shrir viraktam api mam vi jahati. Even Shri, to whom I show no attachment, but to gain whose favor others perform vows, does not give up the dust of my feet. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:16:7. So Krishna. So Krishna has no attachment. But others create great vows. She never gives up the dust of the feet. So therefore, she's not chanchala.
Yes.
But you see, with the materialist, she's chanchala.
Yes.
So that's why he's pointing out this is that material form. So we can say, but it's the same person, but yeah, it has this other aspect. That's the point. We tend to look at it as an ascending, so it's two different people. No, it's one person, two different offices. Just like Krishna, then you have Paramatma and Brahman. It's him, but different functions. So the same with Sri, you have the internal and the external. Right? And also us, the margin. We're expansions of this Mahalakshmi. That's why we're Cha. So I guess they should say Om Namo Cha.
At least we are something.
Yes, yes, we are something. Yeah. But to the Buddhists, then we're nothing, right?
You see that Srila Prabhupada is very often commenting on Cha in his book.
Yeah. Cha is always important. Yeah, Prabhupada is always commenting on Cha, and we're always commenting on Tu.
Yes. Yes.
Narada says, The Lord being complete in his sarup, does not care for the sum total of all wealth, Shriyam, which is worshipped by those desiring all wealth, and does not care for those desiring even a little wealth, or for human beings or devatas, right? Yeah. So he doesn't care for those desiring all wealth, and does not care for those who are desiring even a little wealth. Or for human kings or devatas. Because these are all ones that have great wealth. He is dependent on his devotees. How could the devotee reject the Lord even a little? Srimad Bhagavatam 4:31:22. Right, because what are these situations? Well, you have these aspects of the six opulences. They're non-different from him. You know, in the form of expansions of his Sarup Shakti. But the point is these create situations. So remember before we were saying about that Urja, then she makes these arrangements for pastimes.
Yes.
What are you arranging? You're arranging these opulences.
Yes.
Right? That's what you're arranging. And then within those situations, then different pastimes. Because now, if you have a particular opulence, you deal in one way. A different opulence, you deal in another. Right? Let's say you come into a room. The room is empty. In the room, there's a drum and there's a stick, you know, so nothing, and a little seat. Naturally you go sit on the seat, pick up the stick, and start hitting the drum. Right? So let's say you go in the room and there's a little table, you know, a little seat, and there's prasad. What are you going to do? Pick up the stick and start eating? No, you're going to eat the prasad. So that's what Leela does. She arranges the situation. And then in that situation, what's the most favorable for pleasing Krishna according to your particular rasa and everything? So naturally they're going to do those things. Like that? Does that make sense? So that's why this whole point of regulating your life and all that is important, because on the spiritual platform, it's either going to be spontaneous, you know, in Braj, that following the path of Preeti. Or in Vaikuntha, it'll be regulated by, you know, the different times and all that, the greatness and grandeur of the Lord. Right? But it's going to be, but it's not regulated in the way of, it's what is the rasa, what will make rasa work, that's what's regulating. Right? Let's say like you're cooking. And you're putting different things together. So depending on what you're putting together, that will then define what you're putting inside in the way of spicing or the combinations or what you want to get. Right? Does that make sense? So yeah. Like if, let's say, you know, for example, I have some eggplants and I have some tomatoes. Now, if I have a lot of tomatoes and a little bit of eggplant, can I make a sabji? Not technically. I can make a chutney. You know? And you can make a condiment like that. But if I have a lot of eggplant, a little bit of tomatoes, I can make a sabji. So if it's a chutney, I'm going to put it together one way and spice it and all that. Like the amount of sugar I'm going to put into the one with the chutney is going to be more than if it's the sabji. Right? Does that make sense? The chili will be more, you know, all these things will be, so you make that adjustment. So that's what's happening. The arrangements are there, then according to that, then the pastimes unfold. And became internal potency, she knows what will please Krishna, and so these things are there and creates that variety. And who knows that? That's Radharani. And she's an expansion of her. And so therefore everybody's arranging and serving. So you create these things, then people take care. And so we don't know any of this. We won't do anything. We'll spontaneously do things for ourselves. Like that. And so then, but we have to regulate our life so that now we start doing things according to Krishna. And once it gets, it's about Krishna, then it again goes into spontaneous.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's just, that's the thing is, and so this whole objection to and, how you say, fighting against any kind of regulation, then, you know, being seen as, oh, we're being up-to-date and all that. But yes, why is it popular in the up-to-date society? Because it gives rise for sense gratification. But the same thing was there in society 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago, 5,000. It's the same in material society. It's always trying to enjoy. Just that they know, they're smart, that they know that you're going to get more enjoyment from goodness than you are from passion or ignorance. And the long-term results are also going to be better. So therefore, then they're happy with that. And just now, because of the modes are lower, so they want to remove everything that gets in the way of goodness, I mean, gets in the way of their passion and ignorance. And so you have to remove goodness. You don't see that they're necessarily removing passion or ignorance. They're removing goodness.
Yes.
All the traditions, all the things, all religion, it's all removing goodness. And only passion and ignorance that gets in the way of your enjoyment, then they'll stand up against. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like they'll go out on the street and riot and burn and break everything. And they'll say it's good. We're doing something political. We're being politically active. We're doing good for the world. But they're destroying things. Public property, personal property. You know? But they're saying they're doing good because, you know, the end justifies the means and we have to make everybody aware. And when you do this, people pay attention. Yeah. But now let's say that you're the people that, you're the you know, shop owners or, you know, you're somebody who, bus you burnt, that's the bus they ride to work. Now they have to walk because the bus is going to be out of order until they fix it, and it'll take 2 weeks. So how you know, they're not going to appreciate it. And you go to the next city, and they couldn't care less what you're writing about in your city. Because, like, who goes to your city? You know what I'm saying? Who goes to Portland? You know? You know, so it's like, you know, what's you know, you don't go. You have your own city. They're not riding in L.A. You know, because it's already a riot. So you no one had even noticed. If there was no one had even, they just think it's normal, right? So that's the. Let me get into that. Sometimes you establish the basis, and then you lose what was your... Oh, setting the situation. So we here are being regulated. So that's what I'm saying, is the mode of ignorance in that it will only be regulated if it gets in the way of my sense gratification. Does that make sense? You know, so say the conservatives go out and march, then all the liberals are, oh, you can't do this. And if the liberals go out, then the conservatives, oh, you can't do this. So they'll only object if it gets in the way of their sense gratification. So whatever gets in the way of their sense gratification. So therefore, you see, as those who are targeting certain political points, there's an element of sense gratification there. Otherwise, why are they targeting those? Because they're not devotional servants. So, you're regulating your life so you use those for Krishna. So it's like, oh, we won't do these things. We boycott these things. Okay, great. On the material platform, it appears like you're doing something great. Nice. You know, you do something political, everybody thinks that's great. You know, it's a touch of passion, so better than ignorance. But on the spiritual platform, what are you doing for Krishna? How is it connected to Krishna? And then they will demand that, no, the material things, if they're not right, Krishna won't be pleased. And it's kind of like, how does that work? Bhakti is independent. Does that make sense? You know, and the same time is the material situation. That's what's given in Shastra. You're going against Shastra. So then how is that? You know, but you'll take some point of Shastra to support your political position. But only because it supports your position. If it doesn't support your position, you couldn't care less. Does that make sense? So this switch between the two is, we don't know. We're spontaneously engaged in material, you know, how you say, it's the spontaneous path of love for ourselves, like that. You know, that aspect. And so now we're trying to switch that into spontaneous love for Krishna. So what does that mean? I have to regulate my life until the regulation that I'm following is the natural form of the regulation that those on the spontaneous platform do naturally. I'm doing something, I will follow a particular form.
Like a preparation.
Yeah. Yes, it's a preparation. Just like if I'm doing something, I want to eat something, I will follow, in my spontaneous going about eating, I'm going to follow certain paths. I'm not going to do just any path. Like that. You know, so it's certain paths, then that all goes together. So you follow that. And so then, on it means there's a regulation there. It's unspoken, but it's a regulation. Yes. So the those of the spiritual world, they follow that spontaneity. Therefore, it's there. That form is there. Then we don't know that spontaneity, but we can relate to the form because we take form and knowledge and activities and like results. That part we can see, right? The jnana and kriya we can see, but the icha, Krishna's, we don't. But the jnana and kriya, we're dealing with the material form of it, not the spiritual. So now we regulate it, like connected to Krishna. Now we're dealing with the spiritual. Right? And so then we advance until the point where it becomes spontaneous and now we do it to please Krishna. Right? Or if not, at least the materialists, if they regulate their life according to what's pleasing to Krishna, what's according to Shastra, but they're doing it for the material benefit they'll get from that. Because if you're serving Krishna, why won't there be facility? Urja is remaining, arranging all that facility. So this pastime, you have this facility. That pastime, that facility. So you deal with the nature properly, then that facility will be there on the material platform. Right? So that's piety. So piety is better than impiety. Because it's a step towards Krishna. It may be external, but it's a step towards Krishna. And giving up that regularity is a step away from Krishna. There's only one path. You can't make up your own path. Or you can say, I'm going towards Krishna, but then you have your back turned. Okay, nice. We'll go sideways, like a crab or something.
Michael Jackson went back to us and there was a crab. And
yeah. So it's just, yeah, well, to the Michael Jackson. Okay. Narada says, the Lord, being complete in his sarup, does not care for the sum total of all wealth, Shriyam, which is worshipped by those desiring all wealth, does not care for those desiring even a little wealth, or for human beings or devatas. He is dependent on his devotees. How could the devotee reject this Lord even a little? Srimad Bhagavatam 431.22, Uddhiti, Srila Prabhupada. Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, is worshipped by all materialistic men, including big kings and demigods in heaven. Lakshmi, however, is always after the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even though he does not require her service. Brahma Samhita says that the Lord is worshipped by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune, but the Supreme Lord does not require service from any of them, because if he so desires, he can produce millions of goddesses of fortune through his spiritual energy, the pleasure potency. Right? So, in other words, this Mahalakshmi, the Shakti, then he doesn't require Shri. So here in the aspect of Lakshmi, we're talking about the aspect of Shri, wealth. Because,
yes.
Say, goddess of fortune, because we're talking about the wealth,
yes.
Aspects. Right? So if we're talking about Vishnu with the goddess of fortune, it means that she embodies all opulences, everything like this. You're meaning Mahalakshmi, but you're bringing out the point of the six opulences.
Yes.
Because that's how you define Bhagavan, as being the Lord of these. So because the Sarup is what produces all the energies, therefore he doesn't require. He can produce. So he's not dependent upon Lakshmi.
But Maharaj, there is a connection between Radharani and Mahalakshmi.
She is the Mahalakshmi.
She is the original.
But we're giving a position and showing duties and functions,
yes.
And that. Therefore, we say Mahalakshmi,
yes.
Or Shakti.
Yes.
But it's actually, it's Radharani.
So she's Ladini Shakti.
She's Sarup Shakti. She's manifesting through the Ladini. That aspect. Because the other aspects do other things. Because why is Krishna's Atmarama, right? So he's happiness. And then Satchidananda, so the highest Ananda, that's coming from Kladini.
Yes.
So therefore in that form, that's where you get that manifestation. She can give the highest pleasure to Krishna.
Yes.
Does that make sense? And then as she expands, then you have, you know, Mahalakshmi and Lakshmi and like this.
Yes.
When we say Bhagavan, then we understand it's the original person who is Krishna.
Yes.
Then at that time when we say Shakti, then that means it's Radharani.
Yes.
But when we refer generally to Krishna, then it is like the Vrajakumar Krishna who is the enjoyer.
Yes.
Then Radharani refers to the Ladini potency as a combination. It goes like that.
Yeah, you could say. But you might even put it the other way. Put the formal on the other side. Then means point is as when you say Bhagavan, it means Krishna. It means Braja Krishna.
Yes.
Because we say he's the source. When we say Govinda Madhi Purusham, the original person is Braja Krishna.
Yes.
And that Braja Krishna is his natural form there. Then that full manifestation, that means then you're dealing with the full manifestation of the Sarup Shakti, which is Radharani. Then you get into all the formalities. You know about he is Mahanarayan, she is Mahalakshmi, you have Shri, Pushti, Gir, Kanti, Kirti, Tushti, Ila, and Urja. You know, that they're all there, and then, you know, they all stand around in the eight directions. No, there's six of them. And then...
Vidya
and Avidya. Yeah, and so like that, then you get, you know, all around. You know, they'll be in those positions. So the original will be Radharani and the Astasaki. Then they'll be all these others. Their expansions will become all these others. So the original form is just him and Radharani, and then their expansions is everything. Then you get the formal, right? Because when you're bringing in the Paramatma aspect, that's where you get the formality, because he's the supreme. Yes.
So it's like when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains to Sanatana Goswami how all the expansions are of Krishna there, like first original Krishna, then Balarama expands and all the expansions, and all the shaktis which are complement are given here.
Mm.
Yes,
no, it's the same, because when he expands, then the shaktis expand.
Yes.
So there'll be a certain flavor of each of them. So there's a certain aspect how they're bringing out. So the 24 Narayan forms, they'll have all these same manifestation, but there'll be a particular flavor that matches that mood. You know, when he's Hrishikesh or he's Garadhar or, you know, how you say, what do you call it, you know, Sankarshan, Prajumnani, Vasudev, or Nishringa, or any of the 24, then there's going to be a slight flavor difference, how they expand and everything like that. But they'll be the same position. All the energies will be there, but there'll be a slightly different flavor. So the full flavor, the original flavor, is that of Radha and Krishna. Like that. Then you have all the technical aspects. So because we're here, then we, through the technical aspects, we can appreciate. Right. But actually, it starts from there and then comes this way. Yeah. Purport. The kings and devatas are listed together because they desire wealth. It is narrated that Lakshmi, in charge of the three worlds, having been destroyed by the curse of Durvasa, again appeared by the glance of the Lakshmi, who is directly the consort of the Lord. When she appeared from the milk ocean, other Shaktis are similar. Ila, mentioned in verse 55, is Bu. She also represents another Shakti called Lila. Right? So because you have the Bu and then Lila, because Lila will be expanding from Bu. Right, where was it? Yeah, Ila. So Urja expands from Ila. So that's why then when you're dealing, Radharani will take care of the Vladini aspects, and Yogamaya will take care of the Bu and Nila aspects. Right? But see, specifically arranging the pastimes, but because they're there, then she'll arrange the devotees. So there is that aspect, which devotees are there in what pastime. You know, in what situation. So she takes care of all that. Then it unfolds. Because then the devotees, by their desire, then they make it happen and all that. So this is the whole point is, one will say, oh, the point is that the free will is what you do with the situation. We're taking it the situation, because all we can do is create situations. Right? And so we think that's our free will. But no, it's what you do in the situation is your free will. So therefore, in the internal potency, then as Ila and Urja, then she arranges everything. Right? And in the material world is Maha Maya, then she arranges everything. What you do with that, that defines then which direction you'll go, where the pastime goes. So in the spiritual world, they're moving from one aspect of rasa to another. You know, one aspect of ecstasy to another. But here you're moving from, you know, around the 14 planetary systems up and down in the cycle of samsara. Like, you know, it's just like Gajendra. He's on the heavenly planets. Not bad, right? But he's an elephant. You know? So yes, he made it to the heavenly planets. But he's a bird. You know? He's a tree. You know? So like the Parijat, it's a tree. On the heavenly planets, but a tree. So like that. Does that make sense? When it's in Krishna's garden, then it's a kalpavriksha, transcendental tree. And when it's in Indra's garden, then it'll be material tree. Same function, but, you know, different results. So. Vidya is the first type, internal. Vidya of the first type, internal, causes realization of the Lord. This is a special function of the Samvit Shakti. Vidya of the second type, material type, is the door to revelation of the first type of vidya. Right? So through the material vidya, then you can get a revelation of the spiritual vidya. That's only because we're here. It's not that it produces it. It's because we only deal in material, therefore then through the Sarup Shakti, through the chit potency, then that connection is there. Because you see, it's Samvit, that's chit. So the chit shakti is there, and then that comes down through the external, the avidya. And then that's able to give us that connection. That's why then words can function. Even they say, oh, they're material, but the chit shakti then makes them work. You get the same effect. Yes?
So sometimes when we speak about the Satkarya Bhav, there's a direct connection and there's a reverse connection. And many times devotees are confused that which one is the direct and which one is the reverse according to the method they use.
Or the reflection, you mean, by the reverse, yes.
Reverse means, you know, that the cause is within the effect, but effect is also part of the cause.
Yes.
So we see both direction.
Yes.
But then, according to the method that, you know, people use, whether ascending or descending, then we see directly or indirectly, means in the reverse order.
Okay.
Which the connection is there also.
Yes.
But it makes a lot of difference according to this description.
Yes.
Whether it is direct or in the reverse order.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Like vidya and avidya. The origin is always vidya.
Yes.
But then avidya brings us to vidya. But that is not seen so much.
Yeah, but it's only when it's connected to the chit shakti. Then you can use. That's why then. You can use all of your the body, the mind, everything, because it's a lot of times thought, you know, we're thinking yukta vairagya means, you know, modern phones and cars, but just using your body, that's already ignorance. You're connecting it to the Lord. So why do they have to go so far? So they're saying, oh, we're using cars and that's yukta vairagya. No, that you're engaging your body, that's yukta vairagya. Whatever the nature of the body and gross and subtle body, that you're engaging in Krishna's service, that's yukta vairagya. Yeah, so that's why then the subtleties are important. That's why we study them. It just breaks that we start to, at some point then you see, because in other words, the point is not to know all these technical points of knowledge. The point is to be able to appreciate Krishna and his potencies and their interaction in pastime. And our position there as an assistant, you know, like that. So, that's there. So these things are just methods to go through. You know, it's just like, let's say you're cleaning the bathroom. Is there supposed to be bottles of cleanser and sponges and this and that, you know, sitting all over the bathroom? No, they only are there because it's not up to standard. And then you clean and then you put them away. And then you just use the kitchen, the bathroom. Right? You only use the kitchen if you're in China. Like that.
Russia also, sometimes they mix the two.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Previously,
they used. Previously. Yeah, same in China also.
Previously means, yes.
When I was there, when was it? May have been late 90s or something. When I went there in some old houses, you know, like now still you have some old houses. They haven't knocked them down and put up apartment buildings. Then they would have kitchen and then extend there would be the bathroom. You know, because the idea is that, you know, there's one place for all the water to go. You know, even you're cleaning the kitchen, it just all goes down the toilet. So it's
diagonally opposite from ours. In Vedic, it's diagonally opposite.
Yeah, it's opposite, so you can't exactly put them together. So.
Not even normal opposite, diagonally opposite.
Yeah, well, the diagonally, and there's a square in between. You know, and the square, if you go by the diagonal, the corners, that's the farthest you can be apart. So.
Also, this vidya of the first type, which is like the spiritual, and vidya of the second type, which is the material. Unless we get the mercy of the devotees, all our vidya, whatever we consider as vidya, is always of the
material.
And only when we get the mercy of the devotees, then the transformation.
Yes. So that's why saying, oh, I was a jnani, that's why I was looking for God and this and that, and say spiritual. No, you were looking through the material vidya. Then, when you came in contact with the devotees, now you're getting proper spiritual. You were looking for that transcendental knowledge, but the point is the knowledge you had isn't the progression. Right. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So we have to understand there is a difference. So Yes, you say, oh no, but if we know all these different knowledge and skills, then we can do service better. But all those knowledge and skills, those are all material. When you can connect them to Krishna and use them for Krishna, now they become spiritual. Because when you're dealing with material, it's the end result that you do. You know, it's just like on the material platform. Let's say I'm studying, and I don't complete the study, then I have nothing. Yeah. It's only when I complete and I apply it, then I have something. But in devotional service, you don't complete, that much is still remains.
Yeah.
So it's different. So the whole idea is, you know, we'll study, we'll get this degree, and then, but it's only when you engage it in Krishna's service for his pleasure, then now it becomes proper. But otherwise, you get the degree and all that, and then you get, you know, get into something else, and it's just a job for you. It's not devotional service. The results of it you use for Krishna, to maintain yourself, the family, do things for Krishna, devotional service. That's then where you can say where the service is, but the thing itself is not. So we have to be very, very careful as we've been given the descending. We don't make the distinction between ascending and descending. So we use the descending terminologies and definitions in ascending. And then the problem comes is then we take it that it's automatically spiritual, when it may or may not be, depending on how well we've applied it. Yeah? Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.